I was going to say, I get it. So,
yes, I got it.
Well, I got it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't always get it, but, you know, that time I got it.
That every time somebody says, I got it, I just think of The Comeback. Have you ever seen The Comeback? Mm. Oh my God. It's one of my favorite all-time shows. Oh, with Lisa Kudrow. Oh my God. You have to, there's two seasons. It was separated by 9.5 years of the first, from the first season to the second season. But in the first episode, there's a wonderful, it's wonderful. It's so wonderful. And her, well, I got it. And then it's just this, you have to buy. I don't want to spoil it for you. I don't want to spoil that. Look, after a long day at work, I don't need to see that. Sorry. I could go to, there's a whole Comeback podcast, which is just like, it's amazing. So
anyway, you can riff for a little bit as people come into the live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's leap day, you know.
Yeah. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
Better hop to it.
You're listening to MLVC, the Madonna podcast, your place for all things Madonna, Louise, Veronica, Ciccone. Hey, everybody, it's Liberty.
Hey, guys, it's Tony. Let's back that up to the beat.
Madam X is a podcaster. Hey, everybody.
And hey, everybody, it's Stefan. Welcome to another episode. Happy Leap Day, everybody.
Leaping lizards.
I figured since this is an episode that we can only do every 4 years, and I think this is our second time doing this. I don't think we officially did one, but it's the second time we've been able to do this. We decided let's just buck tradition, and we're welcoming a fifth person to our show today. Martin, a longtime subscriber, supporter of MLVC. We're finally getting this fine gentleman on our show. Welcome, Martin.
Finally enough love.
Finally enough love.
Thank you for having me. I don't have a fancy background. I'm just true blue.
There you go. I think that works.
Yeah. Where are you, Martin? Where it looks...
I am in one of the theater spaces that we have here at New Conservatory Theater Center where I work.
Very nice. And what are you doing in the theater?
I manage the house. I manage the bar. I host Thanksgiving every night. So anytime you come to the theater for a show, I welcome you and make sure you're safe. And then we get you in and out.
What kind of shows do you do?
Oh, wow.
A lot of queer forward theater. We are kicking off the back half of our season tomorrow with two world premieres. So a lot of new work that is commissioned for our stages. To celebrate the community. Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
What part of
San Francisco?
San Francisco?
We are in the heart of San Francisco on Van Ness at Market. So come on down to New Conservatory Theater Center anytime you want to see a great show.
Nice. Awesome. I love it. It's like a black box theater?
Actually, this one is. This is one of our small, it's blue today, but we have a little couple of smaller black boxes. And our largest theater holds 130. So it is still small and intimate, but our designers turn it up every single time and they get two sets out of one space. So really inspiring. It's really fun.
Oh, well, there you go. If you're ever in San Francisco, stop by and say hello to Martin.
Yes, please.
Or buy a ticket and go see a show.
Even better.
Yeah, that too.
Support local artists.
Amen.
Subscribe, come and make it happen. You know, you got to come out and bring out that energy that our artists need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so Martin and Tony both had the auspicious pleasure of seeing Lady Madonna this week in San Francisco. Take it away, boys. And you tell me what was Madonna like on the West Coast?
Oh, I'll let Martin take over because I only saw her one night and he was there for both nights, so he could probably give you a better view.
So Martin, was this your first time seeing Celebration?
Yeah, this was the first time seeing Celebration. I've done a very good job of keeping away from watching a lot of your wonderful content.
Wow.
So yeah, the only thing I allowed myself to watch throughout the months has been the closer, the Bitch and Madonna.
Okay.
All that stuff.
Oh, so you were spoiler free all this time. Well, that's a kudos to you. I don't know how you managed that one.
I knew the blueprint more or less, but I didn't know how it was going to happen. And there were things that I avoided, especially. So it was a lot of fun.
And where were your seats both nights?
First night we were across the stage behind the booth, one level up, about 20 rows back. So we had a nice center stage view of the entire action. And then the second night, last night, we were house left, about halfway, basically in front of where she does the erotica bed moment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Five rows up. So that was a little bit closer.
Nice. And so what are your thoughts of Celebration after all this time, finally getting to see it?
Well, after all this time, not only of waiting for the show, right, the medical emergency, this is why I saw the show back to back, because originally it was going to be October, then January. Well worth the wait and a little bit of an emotional moment, just seeing her come out to Nothing Really Matters for the first time. That was really, I may have shed a tear or two. And it was great. And it's been 20 years of seeing Madonna perform on stage. So it was great.
So I have a question, Martin. You mentioned shedding a tear during Nothing Really Matters. Why? Like, what is it about that song and being the opener that caused you to have that reaction?
Ray of Light comes out when I'm finishing high school. I'm from Peru, so I'm in Lima. I'm waiting for the radio to play Frozen for the first time. I get the record at the mall, at the record store at the mall. And then I just gravitated toward Nothing Really Matters organically for whatever reason, which makes very little sense as a teenager. But, you know, now it's just a song that was never on stage. It was only performed at the Grammys. And as much as that's a wonderful performance, it's the only one. And now we have another one to relish.
Oh, yeah. I can relate. I cried at Nothing Really Matters, too. I mean, it's...
Really?
Yeah, it's really... I'm not sure why. There is a power in how ethereal, I think, she looks and goddess-like. And I'm not sure if that's intentional or just how I receive it, but I really... And of course, it's like, there she is. She's here. All of those emotions coming up. And it's like being reunited with
mother. You
know, mom. Yeah, really.
Yeah, mom's there.
Although, to be fair, Liberty did cry when I took her to the John Wanamaker store in Philadelphia.
I did.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, I don't know if we can really be fair.
But okay, my question, so Tony, Stefan, did you guys also like get teary? I experienced exuberant joy when she spun up out of the floor. Like I was like, okay, honey, I am in church. I am back in the cult. Sign me up. Give me the Kool-Aid. I am ready to go. I did not feel an ounce of sadness or sorrow or I was just
Tis what? Not sadness. No. It is not sadness. It
so it's like joy. It's like just sad joy.
Yeah.
No, it's how I express joy. Like if I'm really happy, I cry. That's because I'm the sort who restrains myself a lot from accepting feelings, feeling feelings, allowing myself space to feel things. So when I do feel it, I've cried at the gym on the treadmill before. Like it's just this feeling, it's this feeling of release of you're allowed now to be happy about this. I don't know if
I get it.
Interesting.
I get that
for sure. It was joy.
I've definitely become much more emotional in my older years, most specifically in there. I freeze again all the time.
That was a good one.
I hate thank god my face is just like I cry at like really wonderful moments of humanity that I see nowadays, where it's like when you scroll through Instagram and there's a like picture of like 13-year-old hits a 3-pointer basketball hoop at the buzzer and wins the game in overtime. And you as it swishes down and the crowd goes wild and they lift that kid up in their arms, I'm crying because I'm like, I know how much of an effect that's going to have on that kid's day and week and life. And like, just the humanity of that is so overwhelming. I did not cry at Madonna. I'm mostly because I, along with Ben, like with what Ben's saying, I'm more of like, I was just proud of her and like proud that she was there at all. And after all of what she went through, and it made me smile. And I was just sort of like, good for you, Madonna. Good for you for doing this and being here and uniting all these people again.
Absolutely. It was like seeing an old friend, you know. It's like when I go home to Peru or wherever and I see friends and family that I haven't seen in a while, it's like, oh, I'm not in the very emotional person. I, again, one or two tears came out of my eyes. It wasn't like a lose your skirt moment. But it's kind of like when you're out of the airport, right? And you see somebody that you really love and haven't seen in a while. And yes, especially with what happened last year, just to see her bounce back and just come back stronger, better, hotter than ever. It's like, oh yeah, there she is. Now let me put this camera down and enjoy the performance. Because, it was a real cathartic kind of moment. And then it was just like, boom, let's get into the show.
Tony, so I actually, since we're on this topic, so I know that after the Maluma performance that we all witnessed, you were a little downtrodden. You were a little bit saddened over Madonna's constant Instagram behaviors of photo shoots with nothing coming from them. How has your opinion changed? Has it changed about her now seeing her back on stage in what I feel is a very vindicating tour?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't even think about that at all. I feel like that was kind of an uncertain time for not just her, but everybody. She, you know, like Martin said earlier, I mean, it was the Madame X tour ended on not a great note, you know, and it wasn't her fault. It was just everything came together at the right time. It was like a perfect storm. And I think it took her about a year to kind of regroup and, you know, figure out what to do next. And I'm glad this is what she did next, because we are loving it. And it's an achievement, and she should be proud, because it's, you know, it's autobiographical. It's just what she wants to share with everyone, you know, on her terms, you know.
Her focus seems renewed after the incident.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know.
What was the crowd like in San Francisco?
It was a great crowd. I mean, I saw her in Brooklyn, I saw her in New York, and that is very singular, as you all know who've seen her there. It's a very singular experience when you see her in New York or in Brooklyn. So this was really great for me to see her in San Francisco and see how the fans are different, but we're all the same. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, there were a lot of women there, which I thought was great, you know, because in New York, it feels like it's like an all male review when you go to a Madonna show. Yeah, exactly. So this is really cool. I mean, it was like, I saw all kinds of people, and, you know, I was in section 221 in the very last row. Like, I mean, like I could touch the wall behind me.
You were in the heavenly section.
Yeah, the heavenly section. But the people up there were having the best time. You know?
Actually, Tony, you were in the Sky Fits Heaven section. That's what we're going to call it from now on. Anybody in the third section, the nosebleed, just Sky Fits Heaven section from now on.
I mean, it was so high up that like barely anybody would stand up, because you stand up and then you lose your balance. So... But it was great. I mean, because I saw the show, you know, from a good section the first time in Brooklyn from the middle, and then in Madison Square Garden, I was on the floor. So this was, I really did get to see a lot of things that I never saw before, like how the whole stage kind of comes together, the lasers, what the dancers are actually doing, you know, from up above. So it was really cool. And like Live to Tell, I got to see all of it, you know, like all the screens came up, and I actually got emotional for the first time. I feel like the first two times I was still trying to process what was going on, and this time I really absorbed it, you know, and I'm really grateful I got to go. It was fun.
Yeah. Sometimes I think the distance if you're not like in it, like in a pit or like on the floor, the distance, mm-hmm. you can sort of appreciate the show a little bit more because you're a little bit more removed from it.
Yeah, the same thing happened to me at Madame X. We went to see her together. We were second row. And then I went to see the last show. I was in the very last row again. And I got to see Frozen in all its glory. I got to see what the dancers were actually doing. So yeah, it's if you can, see it from all angles.
Yeah, for sure. Martin, are you planning to see the show again?
I wish. I wish. You inspired me. I looked at Palm Springs tickets and that seemed completely manageable, but we are just coming back to the theater. So that's in a couple of Wednesdays. And as close as Palm Springs is, there's still like a minimum day and a half commitment to and a night off from here. So
sure,
it's a lot going on here. I can't just be like, I got to go see her again.
Yeah. Well, you're bringing your own theatrical endeavors exactly. to the world. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at least you got to go. And did you, how much merch did you buy? Was that your only piece of merch? The red Vogue t-shirt?
I actually bought this online and it arrived, ahead of the show, which was a nice surprise. I didn't buy anything on site because I didn't want to have to carry or hold on or worry about that. At one point, I even thought I lost my regular jacket. So I was like, let's not leave some money on the ground. But I got to say, the stuff that people were selling outside the venue looked very cute.
I bought a couple of parking lot t-shirts. You did? I had a $20 bill in my pocket and I'm walking out and the guy's like, Madonna's shirts. I was like, I only have $20. He's like, I'll give you two.
And what do they look like, Tony? Can you hold them up?
No, my friend, I'm washing them because it's like really tough. The laminate on it or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. But one of them has the face of, the face from the, Finally Enough Love album cover.
Uh-huh.
And then on the back it says Madonna Celebration Tour, and on both shirts the dates that and the cities that are listed start in Boston. There's no mention of any shows before that. The other shirt is kind of like it's the logo with the big O and then one of those body shapes, but you can't really tell which one it is because it's so badly done. But I love them because they're so bad.
Yeah. That was my worry. I didn't want to copy edit the t-shirts. I was like, I don't have the time for this.
Yeah.
That's too funny. I forgot that some venues were even having like outside vendors. Cause you know, when I saw it in Detroit, it was like 20 below. There was nobody outside selling t-shirts.
Yeah. So. Same in New York. I think when we left Madison Square Garden, there were like two guys selling shirts and I was being a snob that night. I was like, Michael's like, oh, we should get a couple of those to be funny. And I'm like, no.
One of my favorite pieces of merch I got outside at one of the Madame X shows. And it's this like swirl. You can't really see it through here, but it's a sweatshirt with just the Madame X sort of face on it, but it's
looks official. That's not
wonderful.
Official.
No,
it's no, it looks official. Oh, there were some t-shirts
that's
like
an
that.
Official,
too.
That's an official photo, though. There's a t-shirt with that artwork on there for sure.
I think some of the t-shirts that I saw, they also had pulled some images from Instagram. Because they were not concert. Yeah, they were just like vanity shots from.
I want to know how these people are printing them, because anytime that I've tried to like print a picture that's not my own on an online shop, they are like,
that's your mistake.
Copyright infringement. You can't do this.
You have to go to a local t-shirt shop who's just going to run it for you,
or really? Get your own like a Cricut. A machine.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are making.
Hold on one second. I'm just gonna. You guys talk. I'm gonna start the MLVC pirate T-shirt company right now.
Oh Lord.
Excuse me. I'm gonna go silk screen in my kitchen.
Yeah. Sometimes the problem that I have is the quality of the shirts is so different from one like one type of shirt to the next. Sometimes even within her official merch that you never really know, okay, what size should I buy? I think once I bought an XL, this was back when in Rebel Heart, she had it's a picture of Olga the dog and it's this bitch, are you in my gang? It is like for a Barbie. It is so small in the XL. There's just no way I can wear it. So I have it, but I can't wear it.
You can wear it as a scarf.
Also, or a head wrap. The like this sweatshirt, this bootleg one, I love it so much better than the regular sweatshirt, because all the sweatshirts that you buy now that are official merch are not like stretchy.
I know. The Madame X sweatshirt that I own, it is not malleable. Like yeah. You can't, like in order to get in it, I have to like contort myself. And I'm like, okay, I bless myself and genuflect. I should not have to do this. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I think they should all be this sort of like easy, because a sweatshirt to me,
easy.
It should be an easy.
I want an easy sweatshirt. Yes. Yeah. Liberty, we are going to talk offline about a business proposition.
We need to move on. We all sound old with this topic.
Yeah, right.
I am old. It's fine. Like people will be thankful. Like they're going to go to the next show and be like, let's see, is this sweatshirt, the M celebration one? Because on the podcast, they said...
What's to give on this cotton? Yeah, this cotton's a little rough. I bought I have the Everybody t-shirt from her store from a while ago, and that one's soft. It's nice and soft.
See, we started this as a Madonna podcast, but now... It's actually just a fabric podcast. So
you're going into apparel now.
I'm out of here. Yeah. Bye.
Yeah, me too. This is starting to sound like an NBA capstone session. I'm out. Bye.
But you guys, I wanted to bring up, so I haven't been following the tour in the last month or so since I saw it in New York, but in last night's show, she did Express Yourself Acoustic. Has she been doing that regularly? And then also she replaced Rain with Take a Bow, which kind of blew my mind when I heard the opening riffs of the song. And I was like, wow, really? We're doing this now?
Yes, that's been, I think, since... the new year, since she came back, Express Yourself has totally overtaken I Will Survive. And
she did it once since then, maybe once, but I can't remember where.
But so
Take a Bow,
Frozen and Rain have sort of been like dancing around. So it was Take a Bow last night, yes?
Yeah.
But with the Take a Bow, they've changed the background, like the screen. So it's now a different video that's...
It's not the Frozen video anymore. Yeah, it's something more colorful. Yeah,
it's AI. It's an AI.
Yeah, video. The artist posted it on their Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Okay.
Martin, what did you think of Take a Bow? Did she do it both nights?
Both nights, which would be my one gripe. I wish that if you have two nights back to back and you're swapping songs,
switch it up. Sure.
Do the classic Rain and then do the extra Take a Bow. But coulda, woulda, shoulda. Take a Bow, I mean, that's another great song from when I first started to plug into Madonna and Secret. I would have loved to have her like debut a new version of Secret. I just see that it doesn't quite fit in that section. But Take a Bow with, that opening riff, like Tony and her wardrobe, Tony, both mentioned what, you know, you just listen to that and you're immediately transported to a different decade.
Mm-hmm.
So it was great. Yeah.
Tony, what did you think of Take a Bow versus what you've seen before? Because you saw Rain, right?
Rain, yeah. I love Rain so much. To hear her perform that live was great. I mean, it was like, wow, here we are. And also I love, you know, the wind blowing in her hair and that. So I love the whole Rain situation, but it was great to hear Take a Bow. I mean, on stage, I was, while it was playing, I was like, wow, I didn't ever think I'd hear this on stage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause she'd only performed it live at the American Music Awards with Babyface. That was it. And
did she ever do it during Rebel Heart when she was doing the acoustic stuff? I feel like she did it
in Asia.
I think
once.
She's in Australia, maybe.
It was like the anniversary.
Yeah, Philippines.
And I think she did it that one time, but
Now, however, when it was time for Madonna to speak, she was great. I mean, she had really great energy. She was very playful. She told, and I'll send you the video so we can post it on our, our page. She told a great story, which I'd never heard before, at least on the second night, where she said she went to San Francisco for the first time with her family on a family road trip from Detroit to San Francisco, and they stopped all along the way. And she talked about how they had to camp in an old army camping tent. And she told the story how she got in trouble for having tampons. And then when she got to San Francisco, she was blown away. She saw people barefoot and, you know, girls without a bra and people with long hair, men with long hair. And she just like got really into the story. And it was great because, you know, we feel like we know everything or we've heard everything. Yeah. So she told me something new, you know.
That wasn't in the biography.
Right?
Right. I didn't read that. Let's ask Mary Gabriel. Did that happen? Can you verify?
I mean, just thinking of the, and, you know, it was after Joan was, you know, obviously the stepmother. Yeah. So, I mean, can you imagine the entire Ciccone family in, I mean, well, I don't even know what car they would have used.
Seriously. It must have been some, like, extra been a long station wagon.
She said it was a Dodge station wagon, I think.
Oh, is that what she said?
And yeah. It was, well, put three kids in the middle seat and three in the back facing, and away you go.
Yeah, there because the back, them. Remember, yeah. That was just like, well, I was in a station wagon once when I was a kid. I also have a station wagon now, but that's different. But back in the day, like, you could just pile back, a bunch of people in the back and nobody cared about seatbelts or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's not that outlandish to think.
Seatbelts in the 70s? What?
I just love how every story somehow goes back to tampons with Madonna. It's like,
I know.
The world. Know. She's wild.
Yeah. She took the time to explain, She took the time to explain the difference between a tampon and actual penetration. So everybody got an education. Helpful.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah, she's the ultimate teacher, really and truly.
And like Tony said, she took her time because I did note as a house manager what time the show started. And one of the benefits of being in California, I guess, there are more strict curfews. She started before 10 o'clock both nights. 9:57 is what I jotted down for one, and for two, 9:45, which surprised a lot of people.
We love. Hopefully, Tony will come back.
Oh.
Come back to us, Tony.
He must have hit a button.
Tony Dickabow.
I mentioned the time the show started and he flipped backward. Because we were surprised. There were a lot of people who were not on the floor when, when Bob
started
walking. Yeah. And then once she's wrapping up, nothing really matters. Like a sneak of people came to the floor.
Oh,
interesting.
And I was jealous. I was like, are those the people who got signaled to update to text for the pit upgrade? And it was just too many people for on a pit upgrade.
Yeah, they were probably all at the bar drinking.
They were
in line at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have to say the crowd was prepared for her to be late, and they were more prepared on Tuesday. Tuesday the crowd was, it just felt more on because it's a Tuesday. Yesterday for hump day, people were a little bit sleepier.
Mm-hmm.
But she started early and then she made up the time. We still got out of there well after midnight because she made out the time with that road trip story. And there was something else that she kind of sort of went off. She talked about Gaia Siri for a minute. She talked about money, as she's wont to do, how she's not seeing a penny of it. Nothing's for her shoe collection. She needs to talk to Guy. So that
you
was
you mean
cute
like proceeds from the tour? She's not seeing any of it.
She was like questioning, where's this money going to? And it's like, well, I don't know.
Right.
I can see it. I can see it. It's an expensive looking show.
Yeah, it does look expensive.
Yeah. She was definitely more on script for night one. Night two had a little bit of a Drowned World grittiness to it. Her hair, it's like she didn't get touched up from the night before. She just slept in it. And it was a little bit, you know, like when she shows up in the Live from Detroit Drowned World, and it's just like a ponytail and her hair is like doing nothing but the most. That's what night two felt like.
Oh, well, speaking of Drowned World Tour, so she's apparently now wearing a very Drowned World Tour-esque skirt in the first section with Holiday and Burning Up and all that. It's like it's not the exact tartan that she wears in Drowned World Tour, but it's
a reinvention. But that's what I was going to say when we were talking about fabric. I was like, isn't there a new skirt that's been debuted? Is this little mini that during the Open Your Heart everybody section? So it's so cute. I like it better, I think.
I think the other ones must have all just got too stinky.
That's what I thought too. I was like, I bet you she just got tired of smelling them.
Yeah, she was like, I'm tired of my stink. Tony, give me something new.
Well, she did also, do that during that first section.
Didn't she also trot out a new corset? Or I think she was
it's black now. Yes. In Sacramento, I saw that she debuted a black one.
I'm telling you, people got eagle eyes. I would never have noticed.
Yeah, I didn't notice either, and I was looking at the pictures. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, where I was sitting, you couldn't tell. I mean, it might as well have been pink, you know? But hey, I could hear her.
That's another thing I noticed about the show, Tony, and you probably can talk a little bit more about it since you've seen it from down close to high up. The show is very much about her, on her, the light extravaganza. It's not like other concerts where they're constantly illuminating the audience and flowers and stars and hearts and whatever. This is minimal, and then it's always back on stage and on her. So,
yeah, no, he's absolutely right. And yeah, from up above, you can see the light formations. Everything is like nothing's by accident. The only thing, though, and this is because of the way that the stage is set, the higher up you are, you can't see the video screens unless they are in front of you on the sides. But the ones behind her, you can't see anything at all.
Yeah, luckily, they don't move. They're static on their sides. They're not moving like this.
Well, so Martin.
And also, I was going to say, I was so far up that when they did the Michael Jackson section, there's nobody behind that screen, you guys. There's no one.
Yeah. You can see that from the side as well.
Yeah.
Martin, what were your favorite moments from the show other than crying and Nothing Really Matters?
Yeah, the Nothing Really Matters opening. I mean, everybody was so joyful, and you're immediately at the beginning of the story, and you're immediately in this joyful scenario, and it's just lyrics that live the test of time, right? Dance and sing, get up and do your thing, here we are. I really enjoy the erotica section, the red slip section. I thought that was great staging and use of all the spaces, and to have Mercy James there playing beautiful piano, you know, that was very special as well. I liked how she incorporated new stuff, like here's Takesha calling me on the phone, and then it just burst into this like confessions moment of like a dark set that turns purple and the disco lights turn on. And I really like the ending. I really hope that this is going to be a live, unadulterated, not totally filtered live recording so that I can hear that mashup of Give Me All Your Loving and Bitch and Madonna and Bob's, you know, hyping the crowd, and then the little bit of music that we get. That's a really great ending, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was watching a clip of the Virgin Tour when she's doing Dress You Up. And as I was watching that, I was like, see, this is exactly how I want them to film the Celebration Tour. Mm-hmm. Like, just very straightforward and like not overly complicated. Like, I don't even need like swooping camera movements or anything. Like, just like classic. And like, I love the cinematography of Virgin Tour. It's very movie-esque looking, the way the way that they shoot her in that. And I know it was totally film. Exactly. I think it's a different thing. There's like a grain to the film in it. It's beautiful colors. And I would love if they did that for. Oh, it's the same thing with Truth or Dare, like the footage they shoot for Blonde Ambition. It has
that was because, film. Yeah.
Because it's film.
Yeah.
16 millimeter. Isn't that what Kashashian used?
The black and white, but the color was 35.
35. I mean, everything since then has either been filmed on video or digital. Like,
yeah.
I mean, we know this is all like AR, augmented reality, digital film. So,
it's cheaper. They're not going to spend money and do it on film because it's just too cost prohibitive. But
She should get somebody else to spend the money. She should get HBO Max to spend. To spend the money and do a live. Like, she's probably the last artist that has done a live concert in the last 20 years. I cannot think of any other. Certainly, no pop star I think the last one that I saw was...
Careful, Martin. People will come for you if you start spewing out facts like that.
I'm not naming names.
But you do bring up a good point that, like, the live concert specials...
She did it consistently.
Not, yeah, it's not really a thing anymore.
No. When was the last time she did one of those lives?
It was Drowned World.
Drowned World.
Confessions was recorded for NBC, and then... Yeah. MDNA just turned up on Epics, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think there's been anything. Rebel Heart was not live on Showtime.
Love a live. That would be fun. That would be so much fun. Because then it wouldn't be overly edited or overly filtered or, you know, like...
Yeah, get the same director from Drowned World or Confessions and then call... You know what? Since you're not going to South America, call Televisa in Mexico or whomever and have them... televise Mexico City for everybody in the world. That would be so good.
Yeah, she could do like the last show in Mexico, and I'd be honest.
If nobody wants to partner here, I'm sure that somebody in Latin America would love to partner with her and just air it. Get a great director who's going to showcase every single moment. None of this, you know. What do you guys call it? Janky, cutty, edity.
Quick cuts.
You know, quick
cuts.
None of that. It's never janky. I'm sorry.
Yeah, just unusual like editing effects for the editing, right? But
janky is the appropriate adjective there, though.
I know, but that's the one thing that is dangerous. I'm calling her janky. I am not.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with her. It's just editing. Well, somebody in the chat is saying that they've heard that she's got a deal with Netflix for this tour, but I've not heard that at all anywhere.
We've been talking about this Netflix deal for a while with her since the pandemic.
Right. She did go to Netflix. Right.
Years ago, there was a meeting with her at Netflix that she was at, but
everybody thought she's doing Letterman and
Now that she's back with Warner, it seems more likely that any kind of streaming would go to the Max app, which is terrible because that app is just, that's a whole other episode anyway.
Yeah. Well,
somebody else in the chat is asking if we think it'll go to theaters.
I mean, I think after Taylor Swift and Beyonce, I just read today that they saved AMC in their fourth quarter with just those two films financially. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see that happen. And I think that it would be a good idea for everyone involved.
Totally. I would love to see that in a theater, you know, on a big screen.
Yeah.
Also, just the way it's staged and the way they've been filming all the elements, they would have all of that to like, included on the screen, that would be really cool.
Give me Celebration Tour IMAX. I want it big and presentational and ostentatious.
4K, put me in the screens where you can shake and then spritz so that when she does the bottle thing, I can feel the water on me, the Kabbalah water that she's drinking or whatever.
Oh my God, that'd be hysterical.
I don't know about that.
Martin, if you I can just sit behind you.
And there you go. Just
spray some water on you if you'd like. That'd be fine.
An interactive Madonna experience.
Sure. Yeah. MLVC. We'll just have a dedicated showing, and I'll just sit behind you and shake your seat.
Yes. But perfect.
I mean, especially this tour, because I feel like it's so, I guess, accommodating to every kind of fan, because it really has all of these big hits that people love to hear. And it's the side of Madonna that I think a lot of people haven't in a while heard and have been maybe unhappy, but people are maybe not attending the show because they are concerned that she's going to be too political or she'll be too much, too sexual or whatever. This is sort of a middle of the road in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
There's moments where it's a little, I guess
spicy.
Spicy. That's a good word, but I don't think
Liberty. So. You're totally right. I noticed in my upper section when they started playing Like a Virgin at the end with the Michael Jackson thing, everyone in my section stood up and I'm just like, she's not going to sing it, you know, but I mean, they didn't know that. And they kind of had been conditioned throughout the entire show to like yeah, expect the unexpected, because it's like, if she's doing all these songs she hasn't done before, why wouldn't she do Like a Virgin?
Yeah,
you know what
sure.
I mean? So I love that, as opposed to have seen, seeing past shows, Stefan, I know that you can relate to this, you two, Liberty, where you go to past shows and all you hear is people complaining about what she didn't do, you know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. That, and that's not really, you know, I don't think there's people walking out who, let's say, haven't seen a Madonna show in 20 years or even right. 30, that they've said, you know, well, gosh, that was a disappointment. Or why didn't she do, you know,
Candy Shop?
Yeah. Okay. I know
that's only you, Steph.
Just running out crying about that. But truly, I think so many people, it's, and these versions that are true to the original, see, which is something that I think a lot of people, not me, but others who think like, well, you know, I just wish she'd play them original songs. And I think a lot of folks would like to see that. It's friendly to audiences who maybe haven't been so kind mm-hmm. to her.
But then it's too late. They all caught on too late to get tickets or get to a city where they could see it. I've had a few coworkers who, after I told them about the Detroit show, they were scrambling to try to get tickets to Cleveland and Chicago, and they couldn't get seats, you know, that they were willing to spring for and make the travel at the last minute. So the movie would be good to catch that entire audience of people who, as the tour has moved across the U.S., and never mind that it went for 3 months in Europe and they seem to not know anything about it, but the minute it started playing here and it got on the news and in all the papers, right, and the Google News alerts were coming when you log on to Chrome on your phone and like that, and people have become aware of it, but too late to catch a show. And I think the film, because, you know, the Taylor Swift one, it was just all the people who went to see it multiple times, re-experiencing their euphoria, their group euphoria in the theater. And I think the Beyonce show was some of that, but also people who just
couldn't afford
didn't
it.
Didn't make it. Well, yeah, because that was a very expensive tour. So, and you know, Celebration, there have been affordable seats, but a lot of times not affordable seats. So mm-hmm. it definitely would be a way for all those groups to get to see it and kind of experience it in the way that we did live.
And a lot of people would be very happy to go see the show in a movie theater, because at least it'll start on time for them.
Right, they can adhere to a schedule. You know, like
they can pick a 7 o'clock show, and barring some commercials and a buttload of trailers, it'll probably start around 7:20. So
I know
I'm going to the 11 o'clock show, so it feels authentic. Right.
Yes. Me too.
Maybe all the shows will only be at 11.
Those she bitches noticed. Are not in her gang. Whatever. Goodbye. Yeah.
There's a ten o'clock show only on Tuesday.
She did note that on both nights, especially the first one, how she's starting early because she knows that we're tired. She knows that there's some people who are out there who are tired, who need to get out of bed early and get out for the jobs that they don't have and sit around at home. So she was kind of like giving
taunting people
it to the work from home crowd, to the parents. I don't know who she was talking about, the two people who are suing, who knows, but she noticed that, She needed to get us out at a decent time. Mm-hmm. One thing that I wanted to say about the concerts that we've seen on screen the last year, and that we wish we can see the next year, a celebration like this one, like this tour, it is remixed, right? It's Madonna remixed. Stuart Price has done an incredible job. And all of her concerts have always given you a different version of what you hear in the album, which has always been my solace when I spend all that money on tickets to go see Madonna, right? Like, I'm going to see and hear something that has been reworked, reinvented, remixed, and revisited, which is not something I can say about other stars who have been performing. It's been very straightforward. The film that Taylor put out, great. I mean, I spent the 3 hours there having fun because I didn't see the movie. I didn't get to see the concert. I couldn't get tickets. Beyonce, we got free tickets, so we got to see that. And the movie, I thought, was the most accomplished heir apparent to Truth or Dare. Like, it gave you the experience. It gave you more than what you saw on stage. And it gave you her with her family and coworkers putting it together. So if you haven't seen that one, I really think the Renaissance film was like the second coming of Truth or Dare.
Yeah, I heard it was great. I didn't see it when it was in the theaters. I wait a lot for streaming to see things.
Me too. I don't know when's the last time I was at a movie theater. Oh yeah, somebody in the chat says we haven't talked about her to Sacramento clapback that she schooled everyone dragging her for her age. I'll see you guys when you're 65.
I loved that moment. Yeah, I thought that awesome. Was brilliant.
She called us Sacramento both nights, actually. she did it the first night at the very end of the show because her veil got stuck and she was like, this fucking veil. And then she couldn't get it. And she's like, okay, good night, Sacramento. And she's like, oh, I knew I was going to do it. San Francisco. And then we got that giggle from when she was dropped from the chair. She did that laugh and it was like, she laughed in a very like organic way. And then she did it again last night, but it was more in the middle of the show. And it was a little bit more of a jokey joke.
That is surprising. She would think Sacramento over San Francisco, having been to Sacramento once and never wanting to go back. But that's just me.
Well, that was the first. Was that the first time she'd been in Sac? I don't know.
No, she's been there before.
No, she's been there before.
It's just at that new Golden One Center. That's that wasn't there before, right? That's new.
I think Golden One has been there for a while.
Right, but I mean, as far as
out
for
here.
Her.
Maybe. I don't know if older name for sure. Mm-hmm. Chase Center just opened. I think this is the first time she's played Chase Center here in San Francisco. One of the things I was surprised by is how much grief there is in the show and how much grief there is has been in her career. She acknowledges a lot of people who have moved on. Obviously her mother and David's that was a highlight too, mother and father. I mean, I think I know the rap almost until the very last. That's when I just mouth it. But it was nice to see other people who don't necessarily know that era, American Life, just stay seated but appreciate it and learn and just, you know, get up when something else came on that they knew. But for the most part, they were not impatient. They were very with her during those moments that, you know, perhaps are a little bit more esoteric to the 80s Madonna fan than for somebody who stuck around for the whole thing.
Yeah. Hmm.
Patience, not something we associate with many Madonna fans.
No, not at all.
People were appreciative. When we were leaving, I could hear people saying, you know, she just did such a great job. And her family, there were a lot of people who did not know that those were her kids who were impressed and just jubilant that she has this troupe of performers working with her and living with her. And that's her family, you know?
Right. She just has some short dancers up there. Yeah, that's interesting. It is wild to me how little people know maybe about Madonna personally, and that her children have been on, you know, several tours. Like, this isn't the first time children of hers are on the stage, but I don't think that, you know, a casual Madonna fan would be necessarily aware, maybe aware that they're her children, but not necessarily able to see as well. But I absolutely love their roles in the show. I think it's fantastic.
And how she comes to the defense of her children in the storyline of, you know, the show when she is in the cowboy era and she's got one of the twins with her, and Bob, the drag queen, is like, I don't know, being a bad cowboy and getting too close to her daughter. And she says, don't get away from my daughter. And then when something else happens, like, what are you doing to my son? It's very powerful to see someone like Madonna defending children who are maybe not biologically hers, but who are very much her children, and sending out that message. That's family. That's how you treat your family, you know, regardless of where they come from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's something she's really passionate about, is her motherhood, so to speak. She spoke a lot about that in Philly, I remember as well. There was like this whole speech, which of course, as a mom myself, touched me so much, because you know, when you, of course, you build your children to be something and you love who they become usually. Sorry, Mom. But she's got some very talented kids. So, you know, I relate to that too, because I've got very talented children of my own.
Mm-hmm. And her extended family, I was lucky to be privy to where the dancers were staying and working out. I'm at the gym on Sunday, and I turn around and Marvin, whom you had all highlighted,
Liberty would have,
just a few days before,
she would have dropped on the floor.
Dude, I'm on the mat. I was already on the floor. I'm on the mat stretching after my run, and I turn around and I see this like Jesus-like guy with the long flowy hair just trying to check in, and I'm like,
tell me
they're
more.
They're here.
What is he wearing? Oh, yeah. That would have, I mean, I would have been like stretching a little bit, you know. Hey.
Half an hour later, I go to the dressing room to, you know, change, take a shower, get out. And it is Madonna Central in that dressing room. There were multiple dancers. There were
selfieing. I would have been like, guys, come over. Let's take a picture.
They were all in towels.
You don't have to put your shirt on. You don't have to put your clothes on. No, no. Keep the towel.
Yeah, they were all sitting around in various stages of undress, of steaminess. And I'm like, I cannot be here because I'm going to geek out. I'm going to make them uncomfortable. I'm going to make it weird. And I don't want to be in this body next to those bodies because there's a difference. And I know that I should probably not shock them. But it was just great to, because when I lived in Miami where I started to see her, it was always like, Madonna's coming. She's coming to this part. She's coming to the envelope opening. She's coming to this whatever. And she would never. But the staff, the crew would be around town, and it was always fun to spot them. Mm-hmm. But I'd never had them so concentrated in my neighborhood, in my gym.
That's wild.
That's a fun surprise. And to see the people that she surrounds herself taking it so seriously and not necessarily like, clocking me, clocking them, and just try to play it up or anything like that. They were super profesh and staying in their bubble. I mean, as far as I can tell. And, you know, it was, now that I work with artists a little bit more closely and daily, it's like, I know not to go over there and bother them. As much as I wanted to touch the hand that was just carrying her around the night before, I could feel that energy, and it kept me going for a little bit of a harder workout. So
I would have just sat there and watched.
Oh, I did. I gawked.
I'm officially in my dirty old man phase. I would have just sat there and watched.
I just constantly turned my volume.
Madam X is a watcher.
I cannot have them hear me listening to my music so loudly, because they will know. They will know that I'm.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing it on purpose. It's just what I listen to all the time and in the gym, you know?
Ray of light. Listen to her. Coming out of your speakers, and you're like,
Do you do this? Do you do this? Do you know this?
You start doing the choreo.
Yeah. I had to play it cool, and it was hard because they were there. And
yeah.
And I was trying to fit into my original outfit, which I discarded in the end. I bought the mother tank top.
Oh, yeah. Ben was telling us that tank top.
Those things were so tiny.
It's like an infant's onesie or something.
Yeah. My doctor wants me to upheaval my diet. So maybe once I get my cholesterol in check and my new diet going, I will be able to wear it. But I thought, this is a little not comfortable.
Yeah.
It wasn't so much about how much
you can wear it as a glove.
Like.
You can wear it as a glove.
I can make it for my dog, who is almost as big as the tank top. So I'm going to fatten up my dog easier than I'm going to get skinny myself. And then he'll just be the mother. Yeah. He already is.
That's adorable.
Oh, my
Lord.
See,
that's Madonna's missing the market there for little doggy outfits with her, you know.
I'm telling you. That's a whole thing. Like, that is an entire thing.
People would do it. People would do it.
I would buy it.
She could do equestrian wear, doggy outfits. You know, she should revolutionize the nunnery industry, like what the nuns are wearing. She's going places, that girl.
Yeah, you heard it
that
here first.
She
folks.
Is.
You heard it here first. Yeah. Well, Martin, I know you've got to go direct some theater, but before you do, it's time for a little segment we like to call the lightning round. These answers are meant to be quick, off the top of your head, wherever you're at in your Madonna journey. Don't think too hard. Favorite Madonna song?
Drawn World, Substitute for Love.
Oh, Oh, good choice.
Good one. Favorite Madonna album?
Let's just say Bedtime Story right now, because I've been listening to it a lot.
And You're Not Sorry. Favorite Madonna remix?
Oh, that one is a new question. Holy, I am going to have to get back to you on that one. I've actually have a couple of Erotica remixes that Honey Dijon did something for New Year's. So I took that one. And then my partner just gave me a new remix. But just to answer the question, was one of the Drowned World substitutes.
Those are some good ones.
Yeah. That's a good cardio moment.
Favorite Madonna music video?
Ray of Light. Let's just say Ray of Light.
Favorite Madonna tour?
Drowned World, even though I did not see it.
It was
Drowned World. I have it on DVD. I had just gotten to the country, so I did not know how specs worked or where. And I didn't know anybody, so I was like 17, 18. I'm not going to a concert like that by myself.
Favorite Madonna movie?
Desperately Seeking Susan. Yeah.
Nice. And favorite Madonna
And who's that girl? Oh,
Versace. You can do both. Yeah, favorite Madonna look, and this can be from a music video, a tour, a photo shoot.
All the mid-90s Versace, Mario Testino moments are really great. The Something to Remember cover, for sure.
Rachel haircut?
Yep. Or Beautiful Stranger, too. Like her Carrie Bradshaw years are really spectacular, because they're so nobody ever talks about the fact that Carrie Bradshaw is very Madonna.
Oh, totally.
And in that era, you know,
nice. I like your choices, Martin.
Thank you. I like your haircut too, by the way. It's very like the haircut of the season in Hollywood, and I love it.
Liberty's very what it feels like for a girl music video right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Last time you did one of these lives with your sunglasses and your glasses on, I was like, that she is such a boss for that. I get it.
Oh my God.
My guess is you have prescription in one of those, so you needed them. Yes.
I can't see myself if I don't, but I don't know why, for whatever reason, I was feeling very, well, you know, guys, I make a lot of weird choices, but we just accept that about myself.
They're always good.
We shake hands with our fate. And we walk past.
Everybody scream because she's popular.
That's right. I'll do anything to be popular, including cut my hair like all of the
starlet. You guys, we haven't talked about the popular video that came out in the past week. What do you guys think?
Look, it's hot. Okay. Not going to lie. She looks amazing. And to know that she filmed this directly not too long after having arisen from her medical issues. Mm-hmm. It was just astounding to me.
Yeah.
And her hairstylist actually made a little he made a post about it, like, how are you guys liking it or something, and I commented, oh, it's growing on me. He liked it, and I was like, okay, either he's heard me say what I said before, or he's just happy that I am loving popular. And really, the video gave me that. Like, sometimes I need a visual, and it's okay, I think, to admit that. But it was very good. I liked it.
And it keeps growing. The song has kept on growing. Now with the video, it's going to keep on growing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
I was wondering if the long time slow burn success of popular is the reason why we haven't gotten any other new music from her, is because they saw how it was doing on the charts. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been in the charts for months and months and months. Yeah. It just keeps
since last June. I mean, it's been around.
It just keeps going and going and going. So I wonder if they were like, you know what, let's just let it have its day. And they're, you know,
and it was such an easy video. I mean, I don't know what went on, but it looks like an easy video to shoot. It's just a matter of getting them in their locations. Mm-hmm. I think the post-production was probably a little time-consuming for some of the sections of the video.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is.
Well, I mean, don't we all just rock up to a penthouse apartment in New York City and put on some fantastic outfits and sit around on a couch while lip syncing to music.
Yeah. I was just
pointing
doing that
at things
school.
And grabbing your things like this. Yeah,
throwing canes and, you know.
Not really, because I don't have any gloves.
And that's the reason why. Yeah, the gloves would really, that would make it for me too. I get that.
All right. Well, before we go, remember everybody, you can find let's start this over again. Remember, everybody, you can find MLVC on Instagram, Twitter, and Threads at MLVC Podcast. If you'd like to donate to the show, we're on Venmo at MLVC Podcast. Or I didn't realize there's a little button on our YouTube videos that you can send a super thanks, which not only says thank you, but also comes with a monetary donation. So think about us next time you're watching and click a little super thanks. You'll see that button below. Also remember...
Super thanks.
Super thanks. Also remember, if you've not yet subscribed to our YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button so you never miss a video. 2 months left, people. 2 months left. Celebration is counting down. We're going to be along for the ride. So...
All right, so who here has any shows left to see? Liberty?
I think Liberty's Last Woman Standing.
Yep, I have.
Unless there's a Madonna miracle for me.
We'll see.
I'm hoping for a Madonna Mexico miracle, but we'll also see what
me
happens.
Me too.
Here.
Oh, I really hope that for you guys, because I would love a report from Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be nice.
Tony,
I have too many work conflicts.
If you can arrange your Mexico Madonna miracle, can you aim for the last show?
I mean, sure, if it happens. But yeah, I mean, I'll aim for that.
Okay, thank you.
Did you all text the number for the upgrade?
Of course.
So do you see... In the drop down, there is a question that says, have you ever seen her? When's your next show? And there's an option that says, no, I've never seen her. My question is, do you think she's giving away tickets like that too? Because I'll sign up for that community right now.
I didn't hear about anybody in New York or Brooklyn shows get anything out of that number. So I don't know.
I think that's been in cities where it's been like not 100%. So
got it.
Yeah. But if anyone listening or watching has had any good experiences with the phone number, let us know. Cause we're interested.
Yeah.
I'll call her after.
Yeah. Send her a little WhatsApp.
I don't know. It would be nice to see it again, but I had such a beautiful experience in Detroit when her dad was there that night. I'm good to sit there with that and let that be my experience.
Let it wash all over you.
I'm really grateful that I got to see her in my three favorite places, Brooklyn, New York, and San Francisco. So I feel really fortunate that I got to see the show at all. Yeah. So this is great.
All of us.
I told you would.
I didn't know.
We all
knew that you were going to see it.
We knew. There was no way this tour was going and Tony wasn't seeing her.
Well, yeah, now we have Liberty, who's our Texas holdout. So we get a full review.
Yeah. I'll be in Austin for sure. Houston, well, it's on the itinerary, but... life, you know, guys, life.
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery. It's a circle. It's expensive. We go. But I'm so thankful to know that I've got Austin in my pocket. And at least for that, for sure, I will go, because that is already in the cards and booked and all that stuff. So
enjoy it.
Live it up.
And share your lights, like she said, with everybody, even your enemies.
And
share
I'm working on a little outfit to go out with a bang. So
stay tuned.
All right. Well, remember everybody, at midnight on whenever night, it's the last day of the month when it strikes midnight. The first two words you should say should be rabbit, rabbit. That will help you bring good luck and fortune for the coming month. So, rabbit, rabbit.
You have to say it out loud. You have to say it out loud,
and it has to be the first words out of your mouth after midnight. Mm-hmm. So, happy
Madam X only eats her rabbit poached. Obviously.
Well, when you wake up.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just has to be the first two words out of your mouth on the first day of the month.
Look it up.
Look it up. Goodbye, everybody. Thanks for sharing Leap Day with us.